chickens in the houses, they got chickens in the trees, chicken in the pots, the motto of the Petaloomies. Out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Now Marvin got me started, sold me my first hen. Now I got 4 and 20 and 24 more again. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Chicken in the morning, it's chicken in the night. Weren't for chicken, Petaluma never would have reached its height. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay?
Good evening. Welcome to Mouthfuls, smart talk about food, wine, and farming in Sonoma County and beyond. Hope you enjoyed the storm. Yes, that was water falling from the sky, and we are celebrating. We are very, very happy with that. So spent a lot of the morning in bed, snuggling with Little Lark and Little Joey, who are staring at me wondering why I don't have COOKIES right now, because I forgot them. We have a great guest this evening, somebody who was on the show probably 18 and a half years ago, I'm going to guess, when the show was still on Thursday afternoons, and we'd moved to our bigger studios. We weren't still in the construction trailer, but it was still a long time ago. And I think it was back when the show was being archived on videotape and not filmed, but that's what we used. So to try to turn that into digital sound, I'm clueless at the moment. Anyway, it is Mary Risley of Tante Marie's Cooking School, reputation throughout the country, and I know at least in Western Europe and probably far beyond that as well. Founder, perhaps, of Food Runners?
Yes.
Yes, I thought you were the founder of Food Runners. Friend of many people, your book, The Tante Marie's Cooking School Cookbook, is dedicated to Julia Child.
Right.
And I know that when you came up for Mouthful that other time, you brought Liddy Marshall, author of several books, including Chez Nous, Home Cooking from the South of France. You brought Liddy Marshall up, and I can't remember if I'd already been to visit her in Niels. It was Niels, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Niels.
Yeah.
I think I'd already been to visit her when you brought her up. So that was really great. We have a lot of catching up to do.
Good. It's good to see you again.
It's so nice to see you, and you brought your friend Tim. Yeah. Welcome to Mouthful, Tim. first thing I wanted to talk about, I just wanted to give people a quick update on the closure of the cooking school that a lot of people attended, the transformation of it into something a little different now, because I read what you wrote about it, and I thought it was really interesting.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for reading.
So
the story is that, you know, when you run a hotel or run a business for a long time, eventually the people you train on how to teach cooking, for instance, mm-hmm. will start doing their own path. And mm-hmm. so I found about a year ago that my teachers, students were opening their own cooking schools.
Oh, uh-huh.
And so I'm back where I started, teaching in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. It's a nicer house than I had before. And I teach private classes when people ask. I have a couple coming mm-hmm. from Merced next Sunday. There are two of them. The two other people are going to. So I have four people coming to cook with me during the day as a birthday gift for the wife.
And oh, nice.
So that kind. And I'm also teaching 11-year-olds from the French American school.
Oh, how cool.
And I'm mostly teaching them table manners
uh-huh.
and the love of cooking.
That is such a great thing. Do they have to dress any particular way when they come? Are you adding an element like that?
No.
Okay.
But I did give them scarves when we did the Indian cooking class uh-huh. and we danced around the table with scarves over our heads. And so we do silly things, uh-huh. but it's...
Hey, and if you teach them French, if they're French, you got to teach them all how to tie scarves because it's the French that know how to do that.
Exactly. But they're adorable.
Oh, that's so great. Is the school near you?
The
French American?
Well, everything's near everything in San Francisco.
That's true. And you're in sort of this northern part of North Beach?
Still
in that area?
I live in what they're trying to call Lower Pacific Heights now.
Okay.
I'm Broderick between Bush and Pine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
kind of
okay.
Between Pacific Heights and the Haight.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So it's becoming more trendy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, as every little inch of space in San Francisco seems to be. It's really hard to get a parking place there anymore.
Oh, my gosh. Or to drive anywhere.
Or to drive. I've quit driving in San Francisco.
Yes.
I haven't driven over the Golden Gate Bridge in quite a while. I just go to Larkspur and I take the ferry.
Oh, how beautiful is that?
It's wonderful. And once you factor in driving through the city and getting a parking place, it doesn't take longer.
Yeah.
It probably saves you time, and it certainly saves you a lot of money.
Right.
And I haven't done this yet, but my friend, he's at KQED, he's president of KQED, and what he says to do is, don't take a taxi, just call Uber.
I was just going to say, I did an errand last Christmas with Uber. It cost $10 to get down to Macy's and $10 to get back home.
Yeah.
You know, and I was back home within a half hour.
Yeah, and they were saying from the Ferry Plaza to, say, KQED, under $10. And
and
you're not paying for parking and wasting
looking
all that,
for parking.
Yeah, wasting all that gas driving around for an hour looking for parking.
Yeah.
So how often do you teach? How often are the classes?
I have four classes next week.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
So it's,
busy.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. And it's a way I get to meet young people doing different things than mm-hmm. I would generally get to meet. So
mm-hmm.
it's a lot. So listen to this. Last week, last Sunday, I had some of the French-American kids over, and we made enough cookies for 300 Syrian refugees in Denmark.
Oh, that gives me chills.
And then I sent a huge box. They decorated it. They put little writing on the top of the boxes and saying, uh-huh. we're thinking of you.
Oh, that's
da-da-da-da.
Really wonderful.
And so we're starting to make food to give to people who need it.
What a great thing to do. And then how did you make that connection with the Syrian refugees in Denmark?
One of the mothers from the French American school is Danish.
Oh, great. Yeah. So they had a connect.
So she knows. Yes, they do. And we got little photos of people eating the cookies.
Uh-huh. That is just the best idea.
Yeah. Thank you.
I loved it when I saw on the news the premier of Canada, the new premier of Canada, greeting the Syrian refugees and giving them, I get choked up, giving
Justin
Trudeau. The kids, and giving them all kinds of things, toys, teddy bears, and just welcoming them.
Yes.
And he wasn't wearing a suit, he was dressed casually and just was so right there and warm.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart, I hear.
Yeah, and it just, you know, we need more of that kind of thing. I wish there were some here in Sonoma County so I could do something for them.
I do too.
But yeah. This idea of sending cookies, what a great idea. let's go back now. Actually, erase that thought. Let's talk about Chuck Williams.
Chuck was my pal.
Yeah, and I knew him. I didn't know him. I didn't know him well enough for him to really joke around with me.
Yeah.
Always wished I had, but our paths didn't cross all that much because I wasn't based in San Francisco. Yeah. But I did 3 books for him.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I did 3 books for him.
And what were they?
Well, I did pasta with sauces and raviolis. Something that has raviolis in the title.
Okay.
Raviolis, lasagna, and other baked and filled pastas.
Okay.
And then they took those and they put, there were 4 books in that series. I wrote 2 of them. And they took recipes from all 4 books and put them into the complete pasta book.
Oh, cool.
So that's why it says 3.
Very cool.
Back in the good old days when Weldon, you could make some decent money from Weldon Owen.
Chuck and I were neighbors 40 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I lived a half a block from Chico's Market, and he lived a half a block from Chico's Market. And Chico's used to put their tomatoes and fruits outside on the sidewalk, but we would... I would meet him in the back because we always knew that the good tomatoes were in the back. So would meet Chuck going through the tomatoes at Chico's Market.
That's great.
And he loved cooking. He always loved cooking.
Yeah. And you just did a special dinner. He passed away
a week ago yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He passed away in his apartment at 100 years old. Peacefully. He just in his sleep.
In his sleep. What? Oh,
yes.
I mean...
What a way to go.
Can we all have that lovely a death?
Yes. And so on Wednesday, I had a party for him.
Mm-hmm.
He was 100. So you,
right.
You can't just really mourn somebody.
No,
that's
a celebration.
That's a celebration. So, and I had some of his old friends. He doesn't have, a lot of the old cooks are not here anymore, like Marion Cunningham.
Right.
But we had a lot of fun. And you want to hear the menu?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So first we had Campari and soda.
And now we are going to bring Tim on to tell it's too good a story. And the reason for Campari and soda is that was his drink.
Yeah, he loved Campari and
That's
soda.
That's one of my drinks. If I'm on like a press trip, which they can be grueling.
Right.
Last press trip I think I was on was in Argentina and Chile, and it was grueling, and we spent a lot of time in hotels. Campari and soda was my go-to drink. But so the reason for serving the Campari and soda, he loved it.
Actually, Chuck gave up drinking wine around the age of 70.
Oh.
And so whenever anybody asked him for anything, he would say, I'll have a Campari and soda.
And what happened this one time?
Well, Mary calls and says, can I bring Chuck Williams to dinner? Well, it took me a day to get back to her because I was so nervous. So I'm asking everyone what they want to drink, and Chuck wants Campari and soda. I run into the kitchen. I have no soda. What am I going to do? So living in San Francisco, I ran out the front door. None of the guests knew I did this. And I run down the street to the corner market, and it's 7 o'clock at night, and there is a line. Never a line, but there's a line. So I run over, get the soda, and I cut in front of everybody and said, I have Chuck Williams at my house for dinner, and I need soda, and I'm as nervous as a whore in church. Well, everybody started laughing, and the clerk said, just get out of here.
That is so great.
But, yes.
So you started your evening with Campari and soda.
So some of Chuck's favorite. So the next course was seafood salad from Swan's. He loved the seafood salad at Swan's.
As do I.
And then we had chicken from Zuni, chicken with bread salad from Zuni. And then we had hamburgers, homemade ground meat from Balboa. Balboa Cafe. And he and I used to go every month to the Balboa Cafe for hamburgers.
Mm-hmm.
And then we always shared a hot fudge sundae with caramel sauce. So I served that too. So we had only 10 or 12 people, but we had a lot of fun telling stories
about Chuck. Yeah. That's great. And that's a great menu.
Thank you.
It's a really fun menu. And, you know, that's a great celebration. Yeah. Really a great celebration.
He did a lot for cooking in our life.
He did. And now we have the original store now open again here in Sonoma.
Yep.
So just a nice thing. He did a lot for Sonoma County just by using that name.
Yeah.
Really put Sonoma, the name, on the map for people who wouldn't have otherwise
discovered
us so quickly. Yeah, because what year did William Sonoma open?
He took over the hardware store in 56.
Right, 56. Yeah. And then by the time he moved to San Francisco, which wasn't that long later, you know, here we have, at that point, well, not even that point, in the 70s, if I was in San Francisco, or Berkeley, if I went to some club to go dancing or something, and some guy suddenly trying to hit on me, and it's like, oh, you live in Sonoma? It's like, what is that like? Four hours from here? I thought, you know, I knew it was going to catch up. I knew that people would discover how close it was, and they did. But
now it's trendy itself.
Oh, terribly so.
And once the smart train comes, it's going to be great for you.
Yes. Get on that train.
Right to the Larkspur Ferry.
Every time I go to New York or anywhere practically and come home, why can't I walk down to the corner of Bodega Highway and get on the subway?
Right.
So, yeah, it's going to be great to have the smart train.
The smart train.
And speaking about train and movement, that takes us to Food Runners. So tell us about, and I know that in the 90s we had Food Runners up here in
Coalition for the Hungry or something like
that. It almost seems like they were trying to, I thought they'd contacted you. I thought they were trying to do, you know, a chapter or whatever.
Do you remember
what
it was called?
No, I keep thinking Food Runners.
Okay.
But and I can see I'll think of the woman's name who started it. I think I can see her face. Uh-huh. And her husband's name is Steve. So I'll get there.
Okay, so I had a full-time professional cooking school for 35 years and worked really hard for the first 10 years trying to build the business, and then I started going, well, what are we going to do with this leftover wedding cake? What are we going to do with this leftover duck with veal pate? Maybe other people that are in the food business have the same problems. Mm-hmm. And so I asked around and found out about the food bank from the mayor's office. And what I did was I started coercing volunteers into picking up food in their own neighborhood and taking it to their neighborhood shelters. Mm-hmm. Today was the birthday of a woman called Rhoda Robinson, and she was my first food runner in North Beach. And she would pick up at, you know, Cafe Pescadero all their baked goods and take it to the Telegraph Hill Neighborhood Center, mm-hmm. you know, three times a week. And that was an example of a food run by mm-hmm. a volunteer. And so we now have 200 volunteers,
wow.
a paid truck driver, and a couple of kids on cargo bikes running around delivering food every week.
That's great. And where are they getting the food from? All restaurants?
We've been picking up from Whole Foods at California and Larkin. Mm-hmm. I mean, California and Franklin. Mm-hmm. Ever since it opened,
uh-huh.
we've been pick up at all the Trader Joe's, all the Whole Foods. Restaurants don't often have a lot of extra food.
If they plan right, they don't.
And so, but we pick up Kara's Cupcakes and La Boulange and anybody. But the big thing now is the tech companies. The tech companies are ordering in catered food for their employees, usually more than they can,
of course,
eat. And we have increased the amount of food that we're picking up hugely. Mm-hmm. by picking up the leftover catered food from tech companies.
That's great. With the tech companies, how is that put into place? How do people who have the food know about Food Runners?
I don't know.
Oh.
There are millennials that are on the internet that find us.
Oh, okay.
So today,
they're doing the outreach.
They come to us. They come to us. And we pick up every day at Google, Zynga, Twitter, twice a day at Twitter, twice a day at Uber. We get masses of already cooked food that go right to the home for battered women, or the home for alcoholic men, or the all the shelters around town. It's amazing. And so today I was walking my dog, and I said to a man that I've seen there a lot, I said, I'm going to be on the radio this afternoon about food runners. And he said, oh, we use food runners. And I go, well, what's the name of the company? And it's called Hip Monk. HipMonk.com is a travel app that has 80 employees, and we pick up, and Food Runners picks up their leftover food twice a week.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that cool?
That is great.
Yeah.
And so, Hip Monk is, it's a travel.
Yes, you can book tickets and get cars and hotels and da-da-da-da.
Okay, no.
Yeah, Hip Monk.
Hip Monk, okay. Okay. This could be urban legend or it could be true. When you first started, were there city ordinances, county ordinances, state laws that you had to deal with?
That's a really good question.
Thank you.
And the answer is in the first month that we started advertising and telling people we would pick up their leftover food, we were investigated by a member of the San Francisco Health Department. Her name was Tina Huey. And she's still volunteering for food runners.
Oh.
So the health department, what it does is it legitimizes the places that are making food for sale to the public. Mm-hmm. But they don't try and control the transportation. Mm-hmm. And we always try and make sure the food's chilled before we take it, if possible. And the donor is protected from liability by both state and federal laws.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I kind of remember when that was passed.
Yes. And now something's come in about FDA. The FDA is saying by 2020 that there should not be any good edible food thrown away in this country. So it's a huge, it's kind of a groundswell now of rescuing ugly fruit, rescuing all sorts of food to keep it from going into the garbage.
Yeah, and I know France has just done something with that.
France is really early.
Yeah, and they want to make it. I was just reading the article. I don't remember the guy's name. He wants to take it global.
Yes. Good.
And that was what the requirement that grocery stores can't throw out edible food. I think that's the gist of it.
Yes. Well, we have to tell everybody that they don't have to throw good edible food away or compost it.
Absolutely not. And on that note, how about a little musical break, Mike?
A part-time pilot. again high. You leave them hanging with your Cupid's darts and satin dress all dangling down in the molly water on the skirts of town.
We're back. We're listening to Solid Air tonight. Nice Sonoma County band. We love them. It's just so good to see you, Mary.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Really wonderful to see you. You have another Chuck story.
So I was there was a night probably 10 or 15 years ago when I invited Chuck to the opera. And he picked me up in his green Jaguar. And I said, well, we just have to make one stop.
He was still driving.
Yes.
Right on.
We just have to make one stop. I have to drop these trays of food off at a shelter at the corner of Polk and Gary. And so I got to the shelter just after it was closing. And so I've been telling this story for 15 years. So I went up and I started pounding on the door. I'm bringing you food. And they're like, we're all full. We don't have any more beds available. They thought I was a homeless woman trying to get into the shelter.
Oh, gosh.
And every time I tell the story, one of my food runners says, Mary, you need to dress better when you go to the opera.
The reason one goes to the opera is to dress.
That's opening night.
That's true. I've never been to opening night, but I don't care what night it is. If it's the opera, I'm dressing.
Yes, but Chuck was a true gentleman, always a gentleman.
So finish the story, though. What happened to the food? Did they finally open?
Oh, yeah. I persuaded them that.
Great. And did you enjoy the opera that night?
I always enjoy the opera. Yeah.
Do you remember what it was?
No.
Okay. I can always say, oh, I enjoyed that opera. I'm not sure what it was, but it was Puccini.
So there are a couple of perishable and prepared food programs that have started between San Francisco and here in the last couple of years.
Oh, okay.
One of them is called excessfood.org out of Southern Marin, and they're doing a great job. And there's a Sonoma Food Runners now, SonomaFoodRunners.org.
Oh, okay. I will look.
Yes.
Yeah, because it almost seems like that was what it was called before.
It's a woman called June Michaels.
Okay, no, definitely.
And they're working hard to convince. So that what a really big source of food is, besides the tech companies getting in catered food, is also hotels and conventions,
yes,
and things like that, when they think there are 400 people coming for lunch and only 200 people come.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's a, it's just awful when people will throw away 200 box
lunches. I've seen so much, so much of that. So, do you know how these two organizations are doing? Are they?
Yeah, they're working hard.
Speed?
Working
okay.
hard.
That's great. You know, there's also something called Crop Mobster. Do you know about them?
Yeah, we love them. They're great.
Yeah, now it was almost started here on Mouthful.
Yeah.
Seat you're sitting
on. Oh, fantastic.
Nick Papadopoulos.
Yes.
He had just, the idea came together like one of those light bulbs going off over his head.
Uh-huh.
And he had just had the idea. And I can't remember if it was his wife or if it was more of a business partner. They put together a website really fast. And I swear, within, he announced it here. And within like a week, they were, hey, you know, this place has, you know, two cases of broccoli. We can't use it. And then it went to San Francisco, I guess. I think someone else took it over. And now it has come back to Nick.
Okay.
And
there are programs going on all over the country. But a lot of people have the idea, but they're having a hard time kind of getting it going.
Yes.
And my thing is just pick up the food. Don't worry about legalities. Don't worry about
just do
any,
it.
Just do it.
Just,
you know,
do it.
Just go to wherever they might be throwing food away and talk them into not throwing it away.
Because Sonoma County has such an enormous wedding industry.
Yes.
And there's always too much food at weddings. There's always the leftovers left over. And just all the other winery events.
Yeah. That's a really good idea.
So
really
I will get in touch. Is it Sonoma Food Runners or Sonoma County Food Runners?
Sonoma Food Runners.
And it's Jude?
Michaels.
June Michaels.
Yeah.
We will invite June Michaels on to Mouthful sometime soon and find out what she's doing. But that's something
I
would love to write about.
Yeah, good.
Excellent. When you started Food Runner, I mean, is that just how you did? You just, the health department, I'm going to go back to this woman, Tina?
Tina.
So she came to investigate.
Uh-huh.
And then how did she go from investigating?
Because she liked the idea so much.
But how?
Well, a huge thing. So what happens is, you know, you drive down Eddy Street or Polk Street. I mean, there are always people asking for money,
mm-hmm.
and they always claim that it's for food,
mm-hmm.
and so you know. And then, or there's people that want volunteer, the breast cancer, all those people want volunteers. But volunteering for Food Runners gives people a really direct feeling of helping,
because mm-hmm.
they're picking up from somebody that has food and taking it to somebody that needs food.
Yes.
People just love to do it.
Yeah.
And Tina, you know, people like to that direct feeling of helping.
Mm-hmm.
And we're a country of plenty, and we need mm-hmm. to share it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Does business go up or down, business, so to speak, at this time of year with the holidays? Do people forget about it?
Big time.
So it goes up.
We can raise money at this time of year. Uh-huh. We can get more volunteers at this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And people care a lot, mm-hmm. I think, about other people. Well, Thanksgiving means giving thanks,
yes.
I think, for what we have.
And then who, is there an administrator? Is there... You know, how does...
So there's somebody deciding where the food should go.
Okay.
Yes.
There is.
We call her a dispatcher.
Okay, yes.
But we're going quickly into the new technology now,
uh-huh.
where a donor can list what they have,
mm-hmm.
and the app will...
So there is an app now.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
What's the name of the app?
It's Food Runners.
It's foodrunners.org,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And so there is an app, so you can have it on your mobile phone.
Yes.
You can list it. Somebody can say, I need it.
And we're not like Uber, where we can come within 5 minutes, but
mm-hmm.
we promise people will come within an hour or two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great.
In San Francisco. I think that, you know, moving food around Sonoma is a harder thing to do, Sonoma County, because the distances are so big.
You know, Sonoma is really several valleys.
Yeah.
It used to be reasonable, say, to go from Sebastopol or Bodega Bay to Sonoma and then to Santa Rosa and Healdsburg and back for lunch. It's not really so easy. It's really changed. When I was teaching at Santa Rosa Junior College, one of the classes I did, it's amazing to me that I could do this. I taught a class called A Cook's Tour of Sonoma, which is based on my first book. And we would actually go to like four farms in a day, four or five farms in a day that were not that close together. And it's just not possible anymore.
Yeah. Well, that, because of the traffic?
Because of the traffic,
okay.
Yes.
But what I would love your listeners to know is that Sonoma Food Runners is a great place to volunteer.
Great.
And if anybody needs food, they should let them know. Because another problem in this area is that there are a lot of people serving the hungry, but they're only doing it once a week.
Yes.
So where can the food go more often?
They do. I mean, I think Catholic Worker Kitchen does daily. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's several little places.
Yes. Oh, Daily Place. So they should contact
There are
food
some
runners,
Daily Places.
Yeah, Sonoma Food Runners.
I'm going to pitch a story. I'm still writing for the Press Democrat.
Okay.
And This sounds like a really good thing to explore, because
like
we
that.
Haven't written about this. We haven't written this in a while. And then I'm wondering, do you know an organization called Worth Our Weight?
No.
Culinary. You have to come up with me. You have to come up. You have to come up sometime, and we'll go there. They serve breakfast / brunch on Saturday and Sunday. They have a monthly dinner on Thursday, and then they do some catering to bring in some income. But it started by this amazing woman who you will love,
okay.
Chef Evelyn Cheatham.
Okay.
She's from San Francisco, and she's had restaurants. And she started a program for kids in probation camp.
Oh, fantastic.
She started a program, and she was a whistleblower of abuse going on by a woman probation officer to the male students. And, of course, she lost her job and, you know, filed a lawsuit. And the money she got from the lawsuit, she used to start Worth Our Weight. And for 25, this is the first time that she's not doing it in this way. Through forming Worth Our Weight, and before that, even when she had a restaurant, she would cook Christmas dinner for anyone who needed it in Sonoma County and deliver it complete with presents for whoever they were. Nobody ever got less, I don't think, than half a turkey.
Wow.
So if there was a woman in, this is one of the great stories, woman in a residence home, you know, older woman who would be eating alone, she called up and she fed her immediate neighbors for like 3 days.
How cute.
I volunteered some cooking. All of the meals were delivered by 1 o'clock on Christmas Day. Everybody was a volunteer. There was no corporate money. There were no corporate donations. It was what a small group of friends. I'm actually telling two stories here. And she did it for 25 years.
Wow.
And I think in the last year, delivered 600 dinners.
Wow.
Never turned. I started out with 200 or 300, and over the years just increased, dated children's homes, battered women's shelters where no one even knew where they were, and you know, with all sacred, a lot of individual families. So it's really great. Anyway, she's also started, so she used this money to start Worth Our Weight. And she is teaching underserved kids.
Uh-huh.
She really has targeted the kids, the 18-year-olds who are transitioning out of foster care because they have no resources.
Mm-hmm.
So she's working with them, and she teaches them every aspect of the restaurant business.
Oh, I love
and
that.
She takes anywhere, I think she takes 4 students to Terra Madre every other year.
Wow.
She has gotten apprenticeships for kids in Europe, in New York, as she gets apprenticeships all over.
Uh-huh.
It's an amazing program that you would, and it just dovetails with this.
There's something like that in Seattle called Fair Start.
Fair Start, cool.
Yeah, and it's a training program for at-risk adults.
Uh-huh.
And they do a really good job. You can eat there. You can get catered stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah, I've seen a couple places. I think there was one in San Francisco for a number of years ago.
The Episcopal Sanctuary has a training program.
Uh-huh.
And there's one at Treasure Island.
Cafe almost maybe in the Mission. It was about a decade ago. It might not still be there.
I don't know.
Anyway. It's just, you know, it's another way that people are helping, and it's a really, really good way, and I want to take you there sometime.
That's a really interesting thing, because in San Francisco, all the restaurants are in a crisis. They just can't find cooks.
It's here, too.
Roosevelt's Tamale Parlor?
Yeah.
That's the reason they have given for closing.
Wow.
That they're closing, which breaks my heart, and I think they're closing.
Who's closing?
Roosevelt Tamale Parlor. It's been there over 100. It's in the Mission.
Mission.
Okay. It's east of Mission of what's that main street? Mission. It's east. It's not on 24th, but it's up there.
Valencia.
No, it's Valencia is west, so it's the other side.
So what do you? What's your story about?
No, the Press Democrat. What was it 2 weeks ago? The big article on Wednesday. They don't have enough people in the restaurant business.
Yeah. Right.
They're doing wasn't it all about Cloverdale part of it?
Probably, because Cloverdale is not a hotbed of people with lots of cooking skills.
No, so because they're opening constantly up here new restaurants.
Well, it's a they need. I think they need to start paying the employees more.
Yeah, well, in San Francisco, one of the things they said was, we can't raise price. There's only so much you can charge for a tamale, which means there's only so much you can pay your cooks, and they can't afford to live in the city on what we can afford. So they're closing.
Yes.
And I mean, it's one of those classic places like Swan. I mean, it's Swan. But I mean, it has that sort of history and neighborhood history that, God, it's really disturbing. Yeah. And San Francisco is so known for restaurants.
Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of young, rich kids eating in those restaurants.
Yeah. So, San Francisco couldn't afford to pay their cooks more. Yeah. Sonoma County, there is still a limited number of people every night available to go out to dinner.
Yeah.
And more restaurants are opening. So if tourism drops off, especially in the higher end cities like Healdsburg, tourism drops off, during the down months, restaurants are having trouble staying full. So, it's
the good ones.
Interesting times.
Do you think the good ones have issues? Like,
sure. Sure. The good one of my favorite restaurants, and
well, what is it? I can't wait
I'll tell you off mic. only because I was just going to check that they have had a terrible time getting and keeping
employees.
Competent employees, especially for the kitchen.
Wow.
Really a terrible time. I mean, it's a husband and wife team. And, gosh, I don't know how. And that with little kids. And they are opening up. They are serving lunch. They're picking the kids up from school. The kids are doing their homework in the office. Oh. And then one or the other parents, one takes the kids home, and the other one stays and does all the night work. Now they've got some good staff, but they just have had and they're an outstanding restaurant. They just have a hard time keeping competent staff. And I mean, that is one of the complaints I hear.
Pay them more, I say.
Yeah, and they actually have one of the better pay packages. Yeah. They give their full-time employees benefits.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what Danny Myers in New York, how he...
Right, he's canceling tipping. No tipping.
Why not? They do it in Europe. Why can't we do it here?
You mean service included?
Everything's included.
Yeah.
No tip.
That's a good idea.
And Chez Panisse has been doing that for a long time. Haven't they? I know they tried it for a while.
No, they've been sharing tips. They share the tips out.
I thought they
that's
quit tipping.
That's different.
Right.
That's different
I thought they quit
included.
Tipping.
Yeah.
No. I think this is great. Uh-huh. Just include it.
Yeah,
include it. That it's going to... You know, it's so hard to turn this big, huge, enormous boat around, and make it do something different.
Well, we are a society that likes other people to cook the food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to, I mean, I can't, I don't know how much people are paying for their coffees at Starbucks or lunch at somewhere else or dinner somewhere else or having, you were talking earlier about prepared meals that are sent.
Oh, delivered.
Yeah, friends are doing that up here.
Yeah, several people. I know Ruthie's Real Meals. She's got a number of private clients. That's what she does.
Yeah.
A lot of people are doing that. You can make pretty decent money as a home chef.
But it's too bad because cooking is really fun. To be able to make food for your family and friends and good cooks don't shop the same day that they cook the same day and then throw the leftovers away. Good cooks know how to make extra polenta for the next day or extra.
Absolutely.
I think that the family sitting around with a person or two cooking and sitting down to a family meal is way better than opening a package from Munchery.
Completely. And I always think, what is it that you're so busy you can't cook?
Yeah. It's perception, I think.
I think it's perception. And I know one thing is, if I've had a difficult day, put me in front of the stove, don't bother me. I'm making risotto. You know, and it's
20 minutes.
It's kind of as relaxing as a martini, you know? And you can still drive if you have to. But
that's a good point.
I cook every night.
I love
to go out to dinner at least once or twice a week. But otherwise, I go. We are so lucky in Sonoma.
The fresh. Do you live up here?
Yes.
Oh, where do you live?
In Santa Rosa.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, you know, my favorite place. This is a. I don't know if you're not supposed to do a plug.
You can do plugs.
Oh,
that's okay.
Santa Rosa Seafood. Oh, I don't know what to do. Everybody, all my friends who come up to San Francisco, I mean from San Francisco, make sure that they don't come on Monday or Tuesday because they're closed. Because they can't get seafood as good as you get.
So they want to go there for shopping or for eating?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Well, they're now going there because I think they make the best fish taco there is up here. Anyway.
You haven't had mine.
Oh, I can't wait. We'll have a bake-off. But I think their fish tacos.
I've heard that. Yeah, a friend of mine really likes
soup.
Them.
So you can mix that with having fresh fish and a vegetable and, and a candle.
And you still have a good relationship.
Yes, after 42 years.
Yes, and it's just... there's just nothing like it. To me, it's the glue that holds society together.
I mean, we grew up that way, having dinner every night. Now when I see friends, the kids eat all different times of the day.
Yes.
What kind of family is?
Yes. There was Chef Cheatham, Evelyn Cheatham, when she left the program she'd set up and got sent to work at Juvenile Hall, she had a very hard time getting the kids. I mean, the first rule was we all eat together. Mm-hmm. We eat every meal together around the table.
Right.
And some this one girl, she wouldn't. She wouldn't eat. She wouldn't come out. She would stay in her room or her cell or whatever it was. And it took a while before she'd talk. And she had not only never had a family meal, she had never eaten anything that didn't come in a package from 7-Eleven.
Whoa.
Wow.
So we're battling... Yeah. That sort of thing. And the pendulum will swing. Home cooking won't go away.
I hope not.
It won't. It won't, because if it does, I mean, let's be apocalyptic. If it did go away, something would eventually happen to interrupt that stream of prepared foods. And it's like, uh-oh. Now what do I do? And that's
when you say, in a way it is happening. Excuse me for interrupting. No. In a way it is happening because of the concern for natural and quality ingredients.
Yes.
So when you see people like Kraft and the big companies trying to get into the organic, natural thing, and when you see programs with the pigs and the chickens that are grown up and the vegetables that are grown up here, you know that cooking's got to come back. It's got to follow.
Yeah, and you see these national companies, international companies, you see them using a lot of the terms that have become... you know, almost buzzwords.
Yeah.
Sustainable, local, you know, no, it's not. But at least you're putting those words into people's ears.
I think there's a movement going on.
Oh, I think so, too.
Oh, big time. Campbell's soup.
Yes,
what do they want to do? In 2 years, they'll have all the bad stuff taken out of their soup.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
It's huge. And I mean, people may not be cooking at home, but they want to be feeding their children healthful food.
And I do get people, if I'm I'm sort of in a period of promoting books. I have 7 new books out. And I go to farmers markets. I do cooking, you know, feed people at farmers markets. I try to get them to buy my book. I always have people who come and say, I can't cook and I want to. I can't cook. I don't know how. When are you going to teach a basics class? And I'm actually going to try to do that.
You could get them to watch my videos on YouTube.
We will look for them. We will look
for
them.
I have 35 videos on YouTube
and
350 recipes with photos and steps.
Oh.
All geared towards the quick and easy cooking at home.
Mm-hmm. This is something I'm going to be starting to do. Very early in the new year.
TantMarie.com.
We will.
Don't go to Epicurious. Go to TantMarie.
Don't
go. Don't go to Simple All
Recipes.com.
That's
TANTE. Tante Marie, I will use this. I will use this as a link.
Good.
I will send people to you.
Good. I thank you. All I want to do is get people to cook at home and sit down and have a nice meal.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be fancy.
Yeah. There's so many. In some of my new books, I have recipes that have two ingredients.
So I don't quite understand. You have seven new books?
I have seven new books.
Oh, we want to know about this. Inquiring minds.
The show's not about me. It's in a 2-year period, but in 2013, my book Vinaigrettes and Other Dressings came out, and it still got a lot of life to it. And then a year ago, More Than Meatballs came out. And then this summer, the Good Cooks series came out, and it's the Good Cooks books of mustard, tomatoes, oil and vinegar, salt and pepper, and the Good Cooks journal, which has a section of basic recipes that everyone should know by heart. And I start with how to boil water. I've actually come across people working in another culinary school, and I overheard him tell his boss that, how do I tell when the water's boiling? I've never seen boiling water before.
Oh my God.
And I found a number of students who don't really know what it means to boil. So I don't boil water, the simplest salad, and I went through that. So it's a journal, but it's a guided journal with lots of sources of inspiration and resources. So those are my books.
Great. I can't wait to look for them.
Yes, please. Or come see me at the Sebastopol Farmers Market
on Sundays.
Next Sunday. I was going to be there this Sunday, today.
But it was raining.
It was raining so hard, and you really don't take books out in the rain.
No.
And try to sell them.
No.
But I'll be there next Sunday, and I will be, in addition to my books, I will have my homemade gamaccio. I made 6 pounds of gamaccio yesterday. I made 12 bottles of Hawaiian chili water, which is a ridiculously simple and absolutely delicious condiment. And I made 3 bottles of cranberry shrub and 3 bottles of persimmon ginger shrub. Mm-hmm. So I'll have all those things. Plus, I'll be tasting something. I made my winter tabbouleh. I do tabbouleh without tomatoes. I do it with sorrel from my garden and avocados and
sorrel. Where do you find sorrel anymore?
My backyard. You need sorrel, we can talk.
Okay.
The only place that you can buy it, some people at farmers markets have it, not a lot. Nancy Skull, beloved Nancy Skull of Middleton Farm, who passed away last January, she had great French sorrel. I have 2 green sorrel plants, and I have several red sorrel plants. Wine Country, I think it's still called Wine Country Cuisine, could be called Wine Country Herbs. They sell it in little packages, but they sell it as an herb. And it's like, you know, you're going to make tabbouleh and you want 10 packages and suddenly you have, you know, tabbouleh, you know, flecked with gold.
It grows pretty easily. So.
Yeah, it does.
I guess I should do it in the bed.
If you have 2 patches, if you have a bed, do 2 patches, one that gets sun in the summer.
Right.
And one that gets shade in the summer and one that gets sun in the winter.
Okay.
And mine, I haven't planted them in a decade. They just keep reseeding themselves.
Oh,
and
great.
I cut them back and they just grow back and, you know, they take almost no care. They just need water and, you know, a little bit of food every now and then. But they're very, and I'm not a great gardener. Trust me. I have a weird orientation to my house. And I tried tomatoes for the first time in a decade this year, and they all vanished. And I realized that new neighbors next door had a rabbit who likes eating in my yard.
No.
Yes. So I thought, well.
They have a wild rabbit?
No, they have a rabbit that just likes to, they let run wild. They have a little lop.
Gosh.
I live way out in the country.
Yeah.
You're going to get a little scarecrow thing with a electronic eye, and it squirts water. It keeps all the animals in my neighborhood out of my garden.
That really exists?
Yeah. You can. It looks like a little, it's got a little electronic eye, runs with batteries, you hook the hose to it, and it follows them and squirts them. It's so perfect.
So that's like the light that comes on when you pass?
Yes. And it just squirts water at them.
Oh, that,
and you
awesome.
Can get it at Friedman's.
Cool.
I think they're
Christmas.
Yeah.
And on that note, I told you time passed quickly on Mouthful. It's almost 7 o'clock.
Oh, my gosh.
So if people want to take classes from you, we've got like 2 minutes to wrap it up. Do you do any pre-scheduled classes like I'm going to teach...
I will be publishing them on tantmarie.com.
Okay. So
you can look under classes. Yes.
So it's not just the private classes.
That's right.
Private classes are possible, and then
yes.
in your home, which is so sweet.
Thank you.
And so Tant, T-A-N-T-E, it means aunt. Tantmarie.com. And that's if people want to get a hold of you, that's where they get all the information, right?
That's right.
Okay. Yep. And then for food runners, is it just foodrunners.com?
Foodrunners.org.
Foodrunners.org. Foodrunners.org. Yeah. And anything else you want to say in the last minute?
I want to say cooking is fun. Don't worry about it. Have a good time and have a glass of Pinot Noir.
There you go. And as Julia Child often said, it's just one meal. And I do have to tell you, if you have not seen it yet, what is the title of the most famous of the YouTube videos that everyone is talking about?
I can say it?
No, you can't say it, but is there a title for the video where you talk about what to do with the turkey?
Yes, if you want a good laugh, then you can watch my turkey video.
Okay, there we go.
It says have a glass of Pinot Noir and don't worry about it.
Okay, and I'll tell you, it is the gift that keeps on giving ever since I read this. If I need a laugh, all I have to do is close my eyes and hear Mary's voice saying what she says, and I crack up. And on that note...
YouTube. You go to YouTube and look up Mary Risley.
Yes. Mary Risley, thank you so much. Tim, okay. thank you for joining in. I'm glad to know that we're almost neighbors.
Yes, fun.
And have
a lot of fun.
Have a great week. Get to a farmer's market and meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful Smart Talk about food, wine, and farming here on KRCB.
Grapes are coming.